On Thursday's front page, several days of diplomacy get underway with a speech by President Obama and a meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. We'll preview what the president's expected to say. Privatizing prisons may not save states a lot of money, and scientists are upping their estimate of how many planets are out there. They now say there are billions of planets they were ejected from other solar systems. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says few game-changing proposals are emerging to defuse tension in the Middle East as a busy few days of diplomacy get underway in Washington. President Obama will deliver a major policy speech, and he'll meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Times reporter Mark Landler says American and Israeli officials are struggling to balance national security interests against the need to adapt to the changes in the Arab world. But Mr. Obama won't outline an American blueprint for peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians. It's also not clear whether he'll go so far as to endorse a Palestinian state on pre-1967 lines. Administration officials say that move is opposed by the president's chief Mideast advisor, Dennis Ross. Also on Thursday's front page, the cost benefits of private prisons may be less than had been thought. As states cope with budget problems, new research suggests private prisons cost about the same as state-run jails. More than 30 states now use private prisons. Florida and Ohio are moving to join them. In Arizona, private prisons appear less expensive because they take only relatively healthy inmates. That leaves state-run jails to deal with the sickest and most expensive prisoners. On the job front, Times reporter Catherine Rampell says there are signs the recession did more damage than had been thought. Employment rates for new college grads have fallen sharply in the last 2 years. So have starting salaries for the grads who get jobs. But only half the jobs they've gotten actually required a college degree. That's reviving the debate about whether a higher education is worth it after all, and whether students who've graduated in the last couple of years will ever recover from the Great Recession. Thursday's front page looks at the scandals that have been playing out on opposite coasts this week. The arrest of International Monetary Fund chief Dominique Strauss-Kahn in New York on charges that he raped a hotel cleaning woman, and former California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's admission that he fathered a child with his housekeeper. Thursday's Times says both cases involve an imbalance of power. The men have high-powered lawyers and spokesmen who issue statements insisting on the right to privacy. The women rely on neighbors who aren't all that reliable. In the Bronx, a man pretended to be the hotel worker's brother. Later, he admitted he wasn't. Outer space is littered with billions of planets. Researchers say they were ejected from the planetary systems that gave birth to them. Now they could be going it alone. It also turns out there are two planets the size of Jupiter for each of the 200 billion stars in the Milky Way. Scientists had figured only about 10 or 20% of stars harbored planets that big. Inside Thursday's Times, the divisions behind the revolutions and revolts in the Arab world. In Egypt, they're religious. In Syria and Bahrain, they're sectarian. It now appears that the question of identity may help determine whether the Arab Spring flowers or withers. Syrian scholar Sadiq Al-Azam says the revolutions could instill a sense of national identity. He says the alternative is disintegration and civil war. The Obama administration imposed sanctions on Syrian President Bashar al-Assad and six other officials. Times correspondent Anthony Shadid says the move was largely symbolic, although it could signal a policy shift.
The timing of the sanctions was interesting. It comes as the Syrian government, at least publicly, shows signs of renewed confidence after staggering just weeks ago in the face of protests that stretched across the country. Syrian television has been suffused with promises of reform, be it changes in higher education to anti-corruption campaigns. The sanctions at least suggested that American officials and perhaps European officials as well have given up hope on Mr. Assad as a reformer. American policy has been hard-pressed to navigate these challenges, to navigate the differences that are afoot in so many countries at at the same time. But he faces a region of almost bewildering complexity in the throes of a moment that everyone agrees is decisive, but no one quite yet knows where it's going to end.
Times correspondent Anthony Shadid. In China, the latest state symbol is not a Benz or a Bentley, it's a helicopter. But people rich enough to own one are colliding with the military. It controls Chinese airspace. Frustrated hobbyists try to fly around the red tape, going where they think the authorities won't see them. Several have been mistaken for UFOs. One in South China made headlines several years ago when he used his helicopter to chase down the thieves who'd stolen his car. In Washington, Defense Secretary Robert Gates said someone in Pakistan had to be aware Osama bin Laden was there. But he said there's no evidence Pakistani officials were in on the secret.
I've seen no evidence at all that the senior leadership knew. In fact, I've seen some evidence to the contrary. And we have no evidence yet with respect to anybody else. My supposition is somebody knew.
Intelligence analysts continue to go through the computer files that Navy SEALs brought back after they killed bin Laden. Russian President Dmitry Medvedev held a news conference, but he left one big question unanswered. He didn't say whether he'd run for re-election or step aside so Prime Minister Vladimir Putin could run again. Medvedev said he was tempted to make an announcement. He also said he knew reporters expected one, but he said the time was not right. Here in New York, a deal kept a former political boss out of prison. Raymond Harding also won't have to repay $800,000 he made in a scheme involving the state pension fund. Harding used to be chairman of the Liberal Party in New York. In 2009, he admitted to serving as a sham intermediary between the state's pension fund and various investment firms. Last month, former state comptroller Alan Hevesy was sentenced to up to 4 years in prison in connection with the same scandal. That's our preview of Thursday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.